Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and today we take a page directly out of the news headlines of this past weekend.
I have a message to all the white supremacists and the Nazis who came into Charlottesville today. Our message is plain and simple. Go home. You are not wanted in this great commonwealth. Shame on you.
It should be so simple, but yet it becomes complex, I think, because of our fallen nature, our raw emotion, and our difficulties in handling things in a Christ-like way. If you're upset by this, rededicate yourself now to Christ and His church. We have to stop being Christians one day a week, and then the other 6 days of the week, we go out and do whatever we want, and then we wonder why things like this are showing up in our communities.
That's the voice of Father Paniotis Robert Hanley. And just prior to that, you heard the voice of the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe. And handling this first conversation, the first of two on the broadcast today, is a guest host, Father Michael Marcantoni. He spoke with Father Hanley just prior to the events of this past weekend. Keep that in mind as you listen through this content and overlay on top of what you hear Father Hanley comment on, the escalation of violence which took place in Charlottesville Saturday, August 12th.
Welcome, Father Hanley.
Thank you, Father Michael. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be. Prior to ministry, Father Hanley worked in law enforcement as well as the armed forces. During his time in the armed forces, he traveled all over the world supporting many military operations. And after leaving the military, Father Hanley attended seminary at Hellenic College and Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology. Father Hanley is now the regular priest at Transfiguration Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. What is the atmosphere in the town like regarding these events, and how do you feel about them?
How I feel about them, not only as a priest, but as a man, it just sickens me to no end. The town and the atmosphere is divided. Basically, what this started over and why the KKK showed up, I'll give you a little bit of a backstory real quick. There's a statue in what used to be called Lee Park. I believe it's called Emancipation Park now. And there was a group that thought that they were trying to rewrite history and whitewash everything. And then there was a group that said, no, he symbolized slavery and so forth. And those were local groups. I don't know that I can tell you honestly that the situation was handled properly by the city officials, and the argument was allowed to grow. And once it grew, it started to get press coverage, and then eventually people started protesting on both sides, and eventually the KKK, I believe they came out of North Carolina, had notified the city of Charlottesville, and this was all in the news, that they were going to come and protest. Well, as you know, the church does not accept any of their beliefs. And what I've told people is that when you love something, whether it's your race, your wife, your husband, your home, when you put that, and love is the wrong word, when you invest so much in one thing like that, you have gone too far. And it's one thing to be proud of who you are. You know, I'm proud to be a Greek American and an Irish American, born and raised in this country by my mom and my dad. But if I start to get to the point where I'm belittling and putting down other people of other races and other creeds, that is certainly not a Christian act, and it's certainly not a humane act. I would say right now the city is pretty divided against these things. The situation on the day of the KKK rally was, thank God that very few people were hurt. There were some arrests made, and it was a bit unnerving to watch as all this unfolded. I would have thought by 2017 we would have been better than this, as not only Orthodox Christians, Jews, Muslims, just as a people. You know, one of the things in comment groups that I spoke about was that one of the first reasons why a HEPA in the church was formed was to protect Greek business owners and Greek people from the discrimination and the harm that the KKK was causing, because the Greeks, too, were also targeted, along with everybody else whom the KKK lays a blanket of hate over. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is, when we allow something like that to take hold in our lives, what we do is we distort the image of Christ. And the image of Christ is not for white people only, or for black people only, or for Chinese people only. It's not for one group, it's for everyone. You know, Christ told the apostles to preach the gospel to all nations. That's something that I think that we forget too often, and that's how groups like these rise. I firmly believe in something that St. Paul said, you know, you if your brother is doing something wrong, you approach him once or twice with the witness, with the church, and then afterwards, if they're going to still be doing the same sinful thing, you know, shake the dust from your feet. And had nobody showed up to that KKK rally to counter-protest, they wouldn't have had an audience. And I think they quickly would have realized that they were just wasting their time.
You rightly mentioned that white supremacy is the antithesis of Christianity. And it's clear that its roots and sources lie in political ideology, not what it means to be a Christian. Nevertheless, they do co-opt a lot of our imagery. As an Orthodox Christian, what do you make of this trend that deliberately distorts the Christian faith or Christian identity to suit its own needs?
What I mentioned earlier was the distortion of the image of Christ. And by them also taking the images of the cross and proclaiming, many of them were proclaiming that they were Christians, this is a further distortion and distorting of the body of Christ. A very wise mentor of mine years ago told me that the truth can never be destroyed. The truth, in other words, in this instance, being God and his message. However, the truth can be distorted, it can be covered up, it can be hidden, and then it will be revealed in a time of God's choosing. And that is the work of the enemy. And if you look at how these groups, not just the KKK, but all the others that are involved in these types of protests or preaching heresy and harmful behavior, they take just enough from the scripture to justify what they're doing, but yet they don't take the part that would condemn them because they don't want to hear that. Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and there has always been discrimination. You go back to the book of Genesis and you learn about the conflicts that the early Jewish peoples faced. I can't tell you that we're going to be able to solve all of these problems. I don't think that's going to happen until Christ returns and judges the world. However, as an Orthodox Christian, I know that if we adhere to the Orthodox faith and truly practice it in our lives, then we have a chance not to fight ourselves, but to let Christ, through the Holy Spirit, fight for us.
What are some things we could learn from the Church Fathers on the liberation of humanity from these dehumanizing structures? What's the voice of their experience?
Well, I firmly believe that the voice of the Fathers, and I'm not going to speak for them, their writings and their teachings speak for themselves, but in my humble opinion as a priest of the Church, first and foremost, the Fathers all talk about perseverance through any type of sufferings, and trusting in the fact that God will reclaim us. He will deliver us, just as he did the Israelites from the Egyptians, just as he did David from Goliath, all the way through to the Roman times when the Christians were thrown into the Colosseum and thrown to the lions, and through modern times in World War I, World War II, in communism in the Slavic Orthodox countries, Russia, Bulgaria, Serbia. I think the Fathers want us to persevere and keep our faith in Christ. the idea is that the fathers wanted us to prepare for the eternal life, and they wanted us to be called to the resurrection of life, not the resurrection of judgment and condemnation. Now, many fathers say this in many different ways, and the one that I have always found most profound was St. Peter of Damascus. His writings are in the Philokalia, and he talks about how the Christian should not despair because we have Christ and we have the resurrection. We should be the example for other people. We really have no right to despair because, to steal a phrase from my Protestant brethren, we're saved. We have a way out if we choose to take it, of course.
Very well said. And so finally, you've sort of touched on this, but I do want to give you the chance. Last word of the conversation, what, practically speaking, what do you feel the right response of the church as a whole and local parishes to groups and rallies like these are? I know you said generally do not despair, but when someone says, Father, what should we do? What do you feel the right response of the church and the local parishes should be?
First and foremost, there should be a response from the church as a whole to these groups and to their message of hate. To be specific in this area is difficult because you have to look at each individual instance. I am of the mindset right now that confronting these groups in a counter-protest like I saw a few weeks ago, I don't think that it brought about any resolutions. Not showing up and not engaging them is also a form of protest. And I'm not a pacifist. I don't want anybody to get the idea that I mean we just lie down and roll over. I mean that we choose our battles carefully and we select people who are articulate and educated, who can speak, not just people with raw emotion speaking in the heat of the moment and acting just as, in some instances, just as violent as the KKK that we're protesting. And I'm hoping and praying that God's guidance above all else will be revealed. Because without that, then I'm truly lost. If I'm just going based on my own thoughts and actions, my own will, while I might be good intentioned, it's not going to lead to the right place. It should be so simple, but yet it becomes complex, I think, because of our fallen nature, our raw emotion, and our difficulties in handling things in a Christ-like way. The other thing I told my people is, you know, if you're upset by this, you know, rededicate yourself now to Christ and His church. We have to stop being Christians one day a week, and then the other 6 days of the week we go out and do whatever we want, and then we wonder why things like this are showing up in our communities. We, as the church, have a responsibility to be an example, and we still have more people to reach.
Now, of course, Father Panayotis, you've spoken very well on a very difficult topic, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for your time. Do appreciate you taking the time to speak to us today. God bless your ministry and your community there in Virginia.
Thank you, Father.
Well, if you joined us late, you've been listening to a conversation between our guest host for this particular interview, Father Michael Marcantoni, and Father Panayotis Hanley of the Greek Orthodox Transfiguration Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. If you'd like to hear this conversation again, you can do that easily on our website at myocn.net. Click on the Listen link on the homepage and then select Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout. Our regular host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We'll hear from him in just a moment. He is the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. And he's also the founder of this outreach, the Orthodox Christian Network. We're a nonprofit outreach. You can join with us financially when you go to the website and click on the Donate button on the homepage. Also, when you click on the Listen button and select this particular program, you can comment on what you're about to hear or have just heard. We would appreciate your feedback. It always encourages us, and sometimes it points us in a new direction. Again, the website myocn.net. And now with our second interview for the day, here's Father Chris.
We welcome to our program today Dr. Anne McClenahan. She is the executive director of the Boston Theological Institute, of which Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology, the school that I have the privilege of serving as president, is a member. Dr. Anne will shortly tell us about BTI, which is a hub for interreligious theological education. Dr. Anne combines a host of skills that include education, nonprofit organization, business development, public speaking, and marketing, just to name a few. Welcome, Anne. Nice to have you on the program today.
It's great to be here.
So what's the reason you do what you do? Because it can't be easy to coordinate all these theological schools.
Well, it is a bit of a challenge. And sometimes jokingly, I say that my role is to make everyone play nice with each other. But in truth, Boston has an amazing resource in having 9 schools of theology in the area, and which makes us the biggest theological city region in the country. And there are over 2,200 students, 400 faculty members, 600 courses every year. So it's fascinating working with all the schools to try to help each one meet its mission and help each one work and coordinate effectively with the others.
Now, for those who are not familiar with BTI and the fact that there are so many students and faculty, explain, if you would please, what this means. This means that students can go from school to school, enroll in classes. Just go through that briefly for us.
Sure. The BTI, just a bit of background, was founded in 1968, and it's a consortium or an association of 9 schools of theology in the Boston area. And our mission is to support the missions of the individual schools and to advance collaboration, coordination, communication, and community among them. And what this means for students is, and it's really an extraordinary benefit, if you're a student at any one of the 9 schools, you can take courses at any of the other schools. So if I am at Boston College and I want to take a class at Holy Cross, I just file the paperwork and off I go. And so it opens up just an unbelievable richness of resources. Also, the students can all use all of the libraries. There are something like 4 million books in these libraries.
That's what I was going to ask. How many books? My goodness, 4 million. Huh?
It's a lot of books.
Gee whiz, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it also, I would think, is very helpful when we look at future pastors, lay leaders in the world that are going to go out there. They can't live in a tube. They live in a globalized world right now where people are interacting faster and more frequently than they ever have before. So knowing other perspectives, knowing about other faiths from different perspectives has to be a plus, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's my passion for the position. And that's what I think the most important contribution of the BTI can be, is to help create through cross-registration and joint events, so schools putting on conferences together, schools putting on lectures together, to help create a common understanding of the different faith traditions that are represented so that the students can go out and model that in the wider community. That's so important these days.
It is. Could you tell us the name of the schools that are part of the BTI, please?
Sure. We have 9 schools, as I've mentioned. Holy Cross, St. John's Seminary, which is a Roman Catholic diocesan seminary, Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, which is an evangelical seminary, Hebrew College, which is a Jewish seminary, Andover-Newton Congregational, and then we have 4 university-affiliated schools. So 2 are at Boston College. We have the Boston College Department of Theology and the Boston College School of Theology and Ministry. And that is a Jesuit. Those are Jesuit schools. the Boston University School of Theology, which is in the Methodist tradition, and Harvard Divinity School, which identifies itself as non-sectarian. So you can see there's quite a variety of schools and just so many different pedagogies and insights across the board.
Well, those of us who are members of the BTI are truly blessed to have you as our executive director. Is there anything else you'd like to share about BTI for our listeners?
I think what I'd say is, so one thing is we're coming up on our 50th year. We are the second oldest theological consortium in the country and the largest. And we've been particularly focused in the last year on developing relationships with students, so affiliating with all the student associations at the various schools. The students at these schools are unbelievable. They are so inspiring to me. They are so interested. They're so interested in learning about the other that's what keeps me going. That's really what gets me out of bed every day. That's the fun part of it.
Okay, and how about a website? Can you direct our listeners to a website if they want to learn more about this? Because they may be trying to decide which one of those 9 schools they would attend in New England, and this might be just the thing that pushes them over the top to make that decision.
Perfect. I hope so. And I do want to say we consider ourselves Boston to be the hub of interreligious theological education. Don't even look at another city. But anyway, our website, which will tell you about all the schools and the overall offerings, is www.bostontheological.org. So bostontheological.org.
Very good, Anne. Thanks for being with us today. Wish you the very best.
Thanks, Father Chris. Thank you so much.
And we'll repeat that information on our website. When you go to the homepage, click on the Listen button, select Come Receive the Light, and then choose this particular program, which probably will be the first one that comes up. And those details should be right there. That's myocn.net. Again, you're listening to Come Receive the Light, an outreach ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network. What a privilege it is to reach out to you and so many others on a regular basis, and we're able to do that because of the prayer support and financial support of so many listeners and people who just want to be a part of this outreach around the world. You can give to us if you feel so led. When you go to the website, you can click on the donate button there on the homepage, and you'll see a number of ways in which you can participate with us financially. That's myocn.net. Again, I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And please remember, until we return, to always have faith in what you listen to.